If you're looking for exceptional auto service, head on down to Sullivan Tire. Family-owned and operated, they've been serving New England for over 60 years. Their highly trained staff will give you a hand with any of your auto needs. Sullivan Tire offers brand-name tires and parts at a price that can't be beat. They're always here to get you there. Sullivan Tire. Welcome back to the My Hockey Live podcast. My name is Brandon Hall. Pleased to be joined by Jake Levin here on Valentine's Day. Jake, welcome back.
What's happening, Brandon?
So we've got a big slate of games last night, Jake, and you were out covering for the Boston Globe the Canton versus Hanover game, a 4-3 victory at the Ice House in Canton for the Canton Bulldogs. Let's get started with the nitty-gritty. What happened there?
Well, Brian Schumann, the Canton coach, told us after the game, this is a pretty good point, that what Hanover did to them last night was provide pushback. Canton scored a goal 46 seconds into the game. Hanover tied it up about a minute later, 59 seconds to be exact. Canton scored again a couple minutes into the second period. Hanover scored less than 2 minutes later. That was a shorthanded goal Canton scored, no less, to go up 2-1. Hanover didn't let that power play go all for naught. They scored to tie it at 2. Now Canton went up 4-2 by the end of the second. Hanover did come back, make it 4-3 in the third. And they had a chance near the very end of the game. Lucas Lanigan, who we all know is a very dynamic forward, he had Michael Staffieri dead to rights, and Staffieri robbed him with a glove with about a minute, 5 seconds or so left. And that preserved the win for Canton. So they really hadn't been tested like that all season long, not by Franklin, not by Newburyport, not by Mansfield, not by any of these Division I teams on their schedule. And people might say, oh, Hanover, they're only Division III. How's that a signature win? Well, Hanover, like Canton, can continually skate three, sometimes even four lines. There's not a lot of Division I teams that can do that. So all this is a long way of saying Canton now 18-0. I am buying them as a play-in team for the Super 8, assuming they finish 22-0 or 20-0.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, Hanover is, what, at this point, 14-2-2?
14-2-1.
14-2-1.
No, you're right. You're right, because they tied Scituate.
Okay, so 14-2-2 from Hanover. 79 goals, 4. They've only given up 33. They're in the driver's seat, certainly in the Division III South, and then they go out and play a team like Canton, who would be most definitely their toughest opponent on their schedule, and they hang with them. Johnny Abbott's group has to walk out of there, and you don't want to say like, oh, it was a good loss, because no loss is a good loss, but you were with Canton. That's a great prep for the D3 South tournament, which is always a wide open and full of teams. You know, there have been times where there have been up to 20 teams in that bracket just in the D3 South. So, I mean, for Hanover, it's a good loss.
Yep.
For Canton, it's a good win. It's a good test. And, you know, like what Coach Schumann said, the test there is important for them because, you know, you can only beat Stoughton 12-2 so many times and, you know, Attleboro 9-0 so many times. And you go into a D2 tournament and then it's like, all right, now the bullets are really flying here. And we got an opponent that we got to face. A game like this towards the end of the season is great, the way the schedule worked out for them. And then they head into the Joe Quinn Memorial Tournament after playing Natick. They'll play against, in the Joe Quinn Tournament starting on Tuesday of vacation week. And they face Boston Latin, who is no joke by any stretch. Boston Latin is in the mix, in the top three or four teams in all of Division II. So Canton's got their work cut out for them heading forward here, but they're well prepped for the tournament.
And they could get Medfield in the final of the Joe Quinn or Coyle and Cassidy. Coyle's a pretty good team itself, Division III now, but nevertheless, play this game with me. So Canton beat Hanover, which beat Duxbury, which beat Xaverian, which beat Catholic Memorial. Those last three teams I mentioned, those are all Super 8 contenders. Three teams that are probably going to get into the Super 8, I think, at least as of right now. Lots can change. Canton's in my 10. That's all I'm saying. Right now, things can change. Canton is in my 10 right now.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be. I really don't. And they could finish. They've got three games left this season. you know, they could finish at 20, whatever, 22-0.
So it'll be 21-0, I guess. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule right now. They beat Franklin twice, and now Franklin, a little bit of a down year by their standards, but come on, that's still a great program. Newburyport, they were getting a little Super 8 love way earlier in the season. Can beat them 3-1. I'm just going Division 1 teams here that they've taken care of. 2-1 over King Philip, 4-0 over Mansfield, and Canton being in the smaller side of the Hawk, you know, they don't automatically get these built-in non-league games with the Kelly Rec side of the division twice. Franklin agrees to play them twice because it's such a great rivalry. So Canton, they're playing their schedule, and they are making good teams look downright average in several cases here. They beat Westwood 4-0. I know that's Division II. Westwood, we know they're going to be a factor in the Division II tournament coming up as well.
Yeah, I have a hard time saying that Canton shouldn't be in the Super 8 if they run the table. Given the, you know, I mean, now we're looking at RPI, right? Which is a good way to break up, you know, who's who, you know, based upon your schedule. And we've talked about RPI forever. Anyone that's listened to this podcast has heard us extol the virtues of RPI. When you look at Canton and their RPI, there's no reason they shouldn't be in the conversation. That when it comes down to, say, the final 12 teams that are in the conversation, that Canton should be one of those teams. And then you have to start looking at, you know, well, what are your signature losses? Canton has none. If you look at like a Xaverian goes down last night 4-0 to Marshfield. Marshfield has been taken off the Super 8 watch list. If you're losing the teams that are off the watch list, you know, I have a hard time saying, like, yeah, you should be in the group of 10. That's me.
I agree. Hey, but you know what? Zverin is going to have several chances down the stretch here. They have Framingham on Saturday. You think that game has some implications? Now, I think Framingham should be in regardless of what happens on Saturday. They've done what no other team in Massachusetts has done. They've beaten BC High. That said, if you lose to Hingham and Xaverian, two teams you're competing with for not necessarily spots, but seeding at this point. We know Hingham's more or less a lock. Framingham, they might have to fall down to a play-in game, be relegated. If they beat Xaverian, as well as Burlington coming up next week in the Cahoon Cup, Framingham's a top-six team for me right now. I still think they are, even after losing to Hingham the other night. And Xaverian, they have two more chances here. Framingham Saturday, Melrose, which is not done yet either. They only have one loss, five ties, but one loss next Tuesday. So Xaverian can still very much play its way in. They own a head-to-head win over Catholic Memorial. They split the season series, but you know they own the more recent win over them if we're talking some signature wins that they can put before the committee. They tied Austin Prep 5-5. That was an endowment game, and you know, you're not supposed to look at the endowment games, but I think you kind of have to. I can't remember a year where the play-ins were this wide open with nobody really coming down the stretch red hot to steal one of those spots. I don't think there's any, unless you want to count Canton as a surprise, I don't think there's any surprise teams coming here to steal a spot. It's the teams that are in that 7-10 range right now. They're just going to have to earn it themselves.
Yeah, and you know, Xaverian doesn't have the benefit of going into the Buddy Ferreira Classic, which we'll talk about a little later.
Yes.
You know, and to build up that that tournament resume. So whereas a team like, you know, so Hingham and you know, trying to think off the top of my head, Hingham and BC High, and you know, Austin Prep are all going to be down there, and Arlington, they're going to be down there. They can build up that resume. Xaverian's got, you know, their last two games, they've got Framingham and Melrose. It's hard to say, like, you know, Austin Prep goes down there and they open up with Reading. BC High goes down there, they open up with Falmouth. Arlington goes down there, they open up with Hingham. If Arlington gives Hingham a game...
Well, Arlington, they close with Belmont and Andover. Reading is in... They're the only Middlesex League team in the Buddy Ferreira.
Who am I got?
Archies?
I've got Arlington on the list here.
Huh. Well, they're on the watch list.
At the Ferreira?
Oh, you're thinking Arlington Catholic.
Oh, it just said Arlington on the list.
Oh, Jesus. We can edit this out.
No, I'll leave it in. I think it sounds great.
All right, fair enough.
Hey, when the hosts don't pay attention, part three. So that would be Arlington Catholic playing Hingham. It didn't make sense to me to have a public playing a public, and I don't know why it was listed like that. Boy, oh boy, what a mistake that is. So anyway.
Arlington, the Spy Ponders, they're a lock at this point. I think I don't think they can move up unless Hingham goes 1-2 in Falmouth, and Arlington would have to win out, beat Belmont and Andover, which Andover's not dead yet either. I think Arlington's fairly locked into that four spot. I put them over Austin Prep at the five because they own head-to-head win over Austin Prep if we're talking Super 8 here. And BC High, I think they're locked into the one again, unless something crazy happens in Falmouth. And you know, if Hingham or Duxbury, for that matter, were to beat BC High in the final, I think Pope Francis could slide into that number one spot, assuming they take care of business out west at the Cardinal Classic. But those five teams, BC, Pope, Hingham, Arlington, and Austin Prep, they're locked and loaded. They're all in the top six, really the top five. None of them have to worry about a play-in at this point.
Yeah, so if you look at Jim Clark's Super 8, you've got BC High 1, you've got Pope Francis 2, Hingham 3, Austin Prep 4, Arlington 5, Duxbury 6, and then the wild cards, Framingham 7, Xaverian 8, Catholic Memorial 9, St. Mary's Olin 10. I think if you're the coaches association, you're sitting down on February, I think it's 23rd. February 23rd. We sit down on February 23rd. We get to go in MHL and do our little studio show there, which I'm very excited about. That'll be my first time there for that. I have a hard time not putting Canton in with that group.
I'm with you.
I really do. I think you look at, and I think Xaverian has had a very good season, but I don't know if it's Super 8 level. I really don't. And I think that's where Canton slides in. I think Canton slides in at like the 9 or 10.
The closest comparison we have to Canton would be Walpole from 2 years ago. But Walpole, even then, they're a Division One team. They're in the Bay State Conference. They had to go against Braintree and Framingham once each, granted, because they were on the other side of the league. I believe they wound up beating Braintree, tying Framingham. So they didn't have that signature win that really propelled them in. It was the body of work, 19-0-1. I think it's similar enough to Canton's body of work this year. And there were some people not thrilled that Walpole wound up getting into the Super 8, and what do? They go and beat CM in the play-in game, and they're the only team that took their opponent, BC High, to game three of a quarterfinal series, RIP the quarterfinal series, in that year's Super 8. So Walpole more than justified their inclusion, and I'm just not sure if it's a perfect comparison for Canton, but it's probably the only one right now.
So let's take a look now at some of the other results from last night. It's CM 3, St. John's Prep 0, 23 saves in net for Liam Kilgallen. A nice win for CM. 4-0 Marshfield over Xaverian. That's a great win for Marshfield. I mean, obviously they were taken off the watch list. Has anybody ever been put back on the watch list?
Oh, yeah. It'll happen. I know it can happen. I'm not exactly sure when it's happened. It's probably too little too late for Marshfield to get back into the Super 8 conversation. That said, they're probably going to be the favorite in the Division One South tournament, assuming Duxbury, Framingham, Xaverian, and CM are in the Super 8. Now, some of those teams will come back after losing a play-in game, but Marshfield probably wouldn't have to play them until, the semifinals. So I think Marshfield, they're still in excellent shape in terms of getting to the Garden. I just think it'll be via the Division One South rather than the Super 8.
Yep, and then we've got another win for Duxbury in the Patriot League, this time a 7-1 win over Plymouth North. A pair of goals for Nick Stewart. That the Dragons right now are 17-2-0. Heading
into Duxbury should be in. Yeah. I can't lock them up yet. I think they just need to win one game in Falmouth. See what happens in the second round, likely against Hingham. I mean, if they beat Hingham in the second round, assuming that's the matchup we get, then Duxbury's in, lock them in.
Absolutely.
At that point, probably even top six. I still think even a Say they go 2-1 down in Falmouth. They lose to Hingham, and then they win what would be the third place game. I think that's enough. Maybe not for top six, but certainly for play-in. You know, Duxbury, like we said, they own the head-to-head win over Zverian. Should have come down to that. They own a win over Marshfield. And that loss to Hanover, I know it's Division III team. That's not a bad loss.
Right. Yeah, no question about that. And the 7-1 stomp on Plymouth North kind of
answers... They're having a good year.
Yeah, yeah, the Plymouth North is having a good year. And that kind of answers some questions, too, because, you know, there really hadn't been too many blowouts for Duxbury.
Also true.
In the Patriot League. So, you know, there's a concern there, you know, that they're not dominating, quote-unquote, in their own league, which is made up mainly of Division II teams. So, you know, you look at, say, a 7-1 win over Plymouth South, who's down this year, and a 1-0 win over Whitman-Hanson, a 2-1 win over Whitman-Hanson, you know, 2-0 over Quincy, and Quincy's having a very good year. But again, yep. A Division II team, 5-2 win over North Quincy. So then you go into, you know, the Buddy Ferreira Classics, starting off with a 7-1 win over Plymouth North, and then you start Monday with the Ferreira. Interesting to see what they do against Archie's. You know, that'll be one of the intriguing matchups for me.
Archie's needs points. Third year in a row, they will need points in Falmouth. And the last 2 years, it really hasn't gone well for them. They've come up short of qualifying for the tournament. Archie's, as well as Ireland and Catholic, they both need 3 points down there. And it's entirely possible, if not likely, they are playing each other on Monday for 2 points. So, yeah, that's going to be very interesting, the non-BC High Hingham-Duxbury route. And you know what? I'm going to throw Austin Prep in there too. Come on. But the teams that need points, because Falmouth and Reading, they're already in. They're safely in their sectional tournaments. I mean, Reading, you know, if Reading runs the table, wins the tournament, you know, probably give them Super 8 nod. I just don't know how likely that is. But Archie's and Arlene and Catholic, those are the schools to keep an eye on. They need points to keep their seasons alive after Falmouth.
Yeah, Archie's right now 2-7-1 in their league in the Catholic Central. That's certainly
tough league.
Yeah, that certainly does hurt. And then they're not, you know, when you add in the non-league schedule, they're 8-7-2. So, you know, they've got 3 games left. They've got Duxbury at the Ferreira. Then they've got, it looks like they've got 2 TBDs in there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. And let's move on to the final game I wanted to talk about from last night. It's Mesconum at 4, Westford 2. Senior captain Andrew Gatta with a pair of goals. Junior goalie Tucker Hansen with 25 saves. And that moves Masco to 16-1.
I love Masco. I love the story here. Similar to Canton, they're in a team with mainly lower division teams. They do have Newburyport in the Cape Ann. They've beat Newburyport head-to-head. They've won 16 in a row now, almost as impressive as Canton's. There's just a 0% chance that two non-Division I teams make it into the Super 8.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no question.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. But, you know, unless Zverian, CM, and Framingham, and Melrose all lose out, and even then, I'm not buying two non-Division I teams making it. Mesconomith plays, you know, a similar schedule to Canton, I guess. I'd probably take Canton's schedule because there are a few more landmines in the Hockomock League. And I think a few more impressive non-league games, whether that's with Westwood, with Hanover, etc. Perhaps Medfield coming up in Boston Latin, certainly. But that takes nothing away from Mesconomith, who I think... You know, if Canton doesn't make it into the Super 8, I think we have our Division II final to guard, Masco versus Canton.
All right. Let's take a quick break here. And then when we get back, we'll talk about the rankings and some other things that we love because today's Valentine's Day. All right. All right. We'll be right back. All right, we're back on the My Hockey Live podcast. We're going to talk now about some of the rankings that have come out recently heading into the state tournaments. Do us all a favor and go to Jim Clark's Super 8 rankings. Also, take a look at Jim's bracketology that he started doing. He's got all the teams that have qualified already. He's got them ranked by winning percentage, of course, because that's the way we're still doing this. So if you look at his bracketology, you could see, you know, who your team might be playing if the season ended today. Plus, he's got all the teams sorted out by who might qualify via the Sullivan rule, who's still alive, and who has been knocked out. So starting with, let's go to Division Two, because we already talked a bit about Division One. He's got Canton at number one, 17-0, really no question there. Number two, he's got Masconomet at 15-1, I should say 16-1 after last night. And after that, it's a couple of old hats. You've got Westwood at 10-1-5 and Boston Latin at number four. Some really strong teams there. I think the Division One tournament is going to be good. I think the Division Two tournament is going to be very compelling based on the depth, at least here, that, you know, in these rankings, the depth of the quality of the teams. There's going to be someone that's going to get knocked out early that doesn't deserve to get knocked out.
I remember last year how wide open the Division Two South tournament was with, you know, some people, you know, championing a sleeper in Plymouth South, which wound up looking pretty good in hindsight. I don't know, other than the obvious choice in Canton, who can really win this tournament this year. I mean, Westwood, no question, going to be a factor. Medfield, no question, going to be a factor. You know, my old beat, the Norwood Mustangs, they would be the seventh seed if this tournament started today, going up against North Attleboro. Then they would face Southeastern in the second round if they were to win, a rematch of last year's 1-16 matchup when Norwood snuck in via the Sullivan rule. Norwood could go on a little run just looking at their bracket, and then they'd run into Medfield, whom they have tied this season in Tri-Valley League play, their new stomping ground. So Norwood would be an okay position, I think, up until they got to Canton. And, you know, as Chuck Allen has said, they're not afraid to play anybody. So I'm not going to bet against Norwood. They got a 4-year starting goaltender in Austin Reardon. Aiden's his twin brother, the outstanding defenseman for the Mustangs. And they have been with this program since that 0-19-1 season in the 15-16 campaign. And here they are now as seniors, as a legitimate playoff contender. It's nice to see. Nice to see a little, I guess, rags to riches story in a sense for Norwood, everything coming to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's the, you know, the Cantons and the Westwoods, and, you know, Medfield up there. And then you get some teams that hang in the middle, like Quincy, like you said, Norwood. Oliver Ames is another one. Some of those tough Hawk teams, it's going to be a really interesting Division II South bracket. And then when you look at Division II North, you've got Masco, obviously, if the, you know, depending upon where they end up falling. And then you've got a team like Lincoln Sudbury, a team like Marblehead, Boston Latin, right? Those guys are in there. You know, that could be the four that end up in the quarterfinals. It wouldn't surprise, or in the semifinals, I should say. That wouldn't surprise me in the least bit.
I've been big on Lincoln Sudbury all year long. New first-year head coach and Matt Carlin. Only two losses. They're going to go up against Malden Catholic this weekend, which in years past would be really a way for Lincoln Sudbury to get ready for the tournament. I'm not really sure what they can gain from that game now, just the way things have gone over at MC. But I think LS is still in excellent shape to come out of this bracket, just because I think they're a little more tested in the DCL MVC Division II League than Masconomet is even in the Cape Ann League. I think that's going to be my final, Masco versus LS, and see what happens from there. Also, don't sleep on Boston Latin, who did beat Lincoln Sudbury, dealt them one of their two losses this season. And Marblehead, like you said, they're certainly right there in the discussion as well.
Yeah, I really like what Boston Latin's done this year. You know, they play a tough schedule. They play a tough schedule already in the MVDC Division II League, like you said. I have a hard time with that league name. You know, and you look at what they've done in their league, and then you look at what they've done in their non-league. Like you said, a 5-3 win over Lincoln Sudbury, you know, a 9-1 blowout over Concord Carlisle, 7-2 over Haverhill, and then even going back earlier in the season, looking at, say, like a 2-1 win over Linfield. I have a hard time. I have a hard time going against Boston Latin. In the end, they turn out in the tournament too. Like last year, they had kind of snuck in last year, if memory serves correctly. You know, they had had a good enough season to get into the tournament, but were kind of a sleeper and then made a run towards the end there, and had a deep run in the state tournament. So I really do like them. Again, like you said, I like Lincoln Sudbury. And you know, there's not, you can't say anything bad about Canton or Masco either. So those teams are certainly in the mix. And then when you look at, say, like a Division III, obviously it's Hanover and then everybody else. But there's been some new names sort of at the top here. Bourne has jumped in with 9 wins in a row. Bourne is now 13-3-1. North Quincy has been hanging around all season, playing very well, 13-5 at this point. And then, of course, you've got Coyle Cassidy and Bishop Stang that are in the mix as well.
Bourne, North Quincy would be a phenomenal quarterfinal matchup if it comes to be. Right now, they're the 3 and 6, so it goes chalk until then. That would be your 3-6. Always reliable, Norwell. There's the 4 seed, would take on Bishop Stang or Dartmouth, a little battle of Dartmouth in the 5-12 matchup. That'd be fun. And then going up against Norwell in the quarterfinal. And I still think it's Hanover's tournament to lose. You could say that really any number of the past, you know, X number of years in the Division III South. And they could face Rockland in the, I guess, the first round if Rockland wins its preliminary game. And Hanover didn't play Rockland in the regular season this year, but they might wind up with one another anyways. So that'd be cool. But Hanover, they really are the deepest team in Division III. They can... I'm not saying they could win the Division I South tournament. I'm saying they could compete in it with playing 3 lines and 3 or 4 defensive pairings every night. They do mix in a 4th line every now and again, too. Kevin Chandler is one of the top goaltenders in the state, regardless of division. So I love Hanover coming out of the Division III South. Bourne would be my sleeper, if you can call them a sleeper at this point. They've had 4 players surpass 100 career points this season. Max Hess, I want to make sure it was him, not his twin brother, who got it last night. But they had 3 players get 100 career points in 1 game a few weeks back, and I believe it was Max who surpassed it last night. So Bourne, they've got the know-how and experience as well. That'd be my pick for the sectional final right now, Hanover versus Bourne. And wouldn't you know it, they happen to play one another on Saturday.
Yeah, it really remarkable there. And I do want to touch upon the 100-point piece that you mentioned there. That is still the gold standard for you know, career achievement in high school hockey for a skater anyway. Having that 100-point, hitting that 100-point barrier means that you've had at least 25 points a season for 4 seasons, or you know, you played freshman year and were able to make an impact and have some points, and then build upon that. Really impressive at any level to accrue that amount of points in, you know, 20 games a season times 4 seasons. And recently Carly Birellini here in Pembroke High, scored her 100th point. I think that was last night. Actually, she scored a goal for her 100th point. So even on the girls' side as well, you know, that 100-point barrier is definitely the, we remember you Athletic Hall of Fame, you know, name in the gym kind of stat for high school hockey.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's, you know, it's the equivalent to 1,000 points in basketball. That kind of consistency is remarkable, and to see somebody who stays all 4 years at this point to see it through, that's even cooler.
Yeah, it really is. And to stay, that is the huge piece, right there, like you said.
Right.
So now let's talk about some of the tournaments that are coming up, the end of season tournaments. You know, we used to say when we were coaching, it's tournament season now. Like once February vacation starts, we called it tournament season. So you're playing in some sort of like, you know, local tournament. For us, it was the Gould tournament, you know, where we'd play, and it was a little extra chalk, like you said, involved. You're playing against some rivals. You're in your building. You know, there's a little more juice in the air, and it sometimes there were tournament spots at stake. You know, whether it was rankings or getting in. We on MHL are covering 2 of these. The smaller one we're covering is the Gould Memorial Tournament. It's a 4-team tournament out of Pembroke. The first round, it's Pembroke versus Hanover and Norwell versus Scituate. So certainly teams that are very familiar with each other, Norwell and Scituate, not necessarily from a league standpoint, but you know, they play each other every year as town rivals. And then Pembroke and Hanover as Patriot League rivals, both on the Fisher Division side.
Scituate tied Hanover a few weeks ago, first-year coach there, Brian Hurcomb. So, you know, not a win, but still an impressive result against Hanover. But they're going to have a hard time getting past Norwell, I think. But Hanover-Scituate in the final of that tournament would be very fun, I believe.
Yeah, it certainly would be. And it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if either Scituate or Norwell came out of that game. And I think Hanover will be fine against Pembroke. Pembroke's had a down season this year. But I do think that Norwell versus Scituate game is compelling. And then a final of Norwell versus Hanover or Norwell, or I'm sorry, Scituate versus Hanover will make for a good final game there. And then moving on down to Falmouth, something we've been covering on MHL for a long time, the Buddy Ferreira Classic. The first game on the docket is Hingham versus Arlington Catholic. Make sure you get that right this time. We've got Duxbury versus Archbishop Williams, Reading versus Austin Prep, and Falmouth versus BC High. So they've done something a little different this year. They've gone to power seeding, and they've got the public for playing the Catholic. They've ranked each one 1-4, and that's where the matchups came up. So you've got the fourth-ranked public Falmouth versus the number one-ranked Catholic BC High, if that's correct.
Yep, that's how it's going, and it's cool because it's not just by the computers. They did it by consulting, you know, coaches within the tournament, as well as media members, be that Jim Clark, Rich McClone, or yours truly, to make that happen. And I think it's very cool, and I would love to see something similar happen for the statewide tournament moving forward.
Yeah, and I don't think it's out of the question to put together the math on it. You know, it's being, like we've said, and we've already talked about it today, the power seeding issue can be solved very quickly with computers. Not a big deal, and it's been done out west for years now.
It's done in lacrosse for both boys and girls in the east, rural statewide, I should say. Yeah, lacrosse, and you know, there's a reason lacrosse continues to rise in popularity in Massachusetts High School, and I'm not saying power seeding is the reason why. There's way more that goes into it than that, but those lacrosse tournaments, those are always fun, and not that the hockey tournaments aren't, but maybe you'd have some more compelling matchups near the end rather than at the beginning if you would power seed the thing.
Okay, so let's look at the Ferreira. Who's your favorite in the Ferreira?
It's BC High. Yeah. They're on a mission to go back-to-back, the Kramer brothers and Chase Congdon and Nett, Matt Lakis, Declan Lochnane. They're loaded. I'm not going to be surprised if they get a really good game from Hingham or Duxbury in the final. I'm picking BCI against Hingham in the final, and I think I'm still going to be a lot of Crow Point pizza and stars if I say this, but I'm picking BCI over Hingham in the final. For now, I reserve the right to change my mind as the week goes on to see how things play out. My sleeper is Redding because they are the team that fits the profile of a team that can go on a run and earn their way into the Super 8. And that would require beating not only Austin Prep, but also BC High. And that's before they even get to the final and would face either Hingham or Duxbury. So Reading's my sleeper team just to keep an eye on. And they could be out in the first round. They could go all the way, but keep an eye on the Rockets.
All right, before we go, it's Valentine's Day. I'm going to tell you two things that I absolutely love about hockey in Massachusetts, that's sort of unique to Massachusetts, but also just, you know, things that I've really loved this season. Number one, D2 teams in the mix for the Super 8.
Absolutely. How can you not love that?
I love that. My second is massive upsets. Last year, it was Walpole. This year, it's Framingham. I'm sorry, Waltham last year. This year, it's Framingham over BC High. Those are the two things that I absolutely have loved this year.
I love that we are probably going to get three public schools in the top six of the Super 8. That's Hingham, Arlington, and either Duxbury or Framingham. I think we'll grab one of those spots. I think that's always good. And I love that even more publics are going to get a chance at the play-in, whether that's Duxbury or Framingham, maybe Canton, maybe another team out of the Middlesex, whether it's Reading or Burlington making a late surge. I certainly love that. And I love that it is tournament season, and we're going to be moving down to the Cape for the next month plus with, for my money, two of the best rinks in the state, Falmouth Ice Arena, and, of course, Gallo Arena.
Yeah, definitely. And anything to plug?
No, that's it. I mean, I'll see you in Falmouth. I'll be down there for all 12 games, per usual. Can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait. Definitely. It's good. Hey, this is the good time right now. The next month is a ton of fun.
It sure is, man.
From now until March 16th, it's going to be wall-to-wall hockey, and it's going to be good hockey because it's going to count for something. Jake Levin, Boston Globe, NBC Boston, at Jake Levin 09.
Yes, sir.
I got it right. And Brandon Hall signing off on the My Hockey Life podcast. We'll catch you next week.